Lutherans cut off their nose to spite their face, and that's a bad, like, what's the, like, it's a
colloquialism.
Yeah, it's a bad colloquialism, but it does summarize it. And so it's like, wait, the Baptist quoted that Bible verse? Then we'll never quote that Bible verse again. And like, we end up losing biblical ways of talking because some other group gets it wrong, rather than insisting on getting it right without getting rid of that biblical way of talking. All right. So this is a major problem for us. And coming from, as you're coming from a Jesus in the heart theology, you'll have a tendency to be like, you'll be hypersensitive to misused biblical talk. And you'll be like, no, don't teach that because that would be this. And the thing is, well, it could be that, but if you're going to not quote Jesus because it might be wrong, I think you've gone too far, right? That's where I'm at on this topic. To be sure, the Jesus inside of you, hubu jubu gubu nonsense that gets talked about, the God within you, divine light. I mean, there's so much nonsense. I said it already. What other word do I use? There's so much pure diabolical lie that gets put out there in the name of God inside of you, all the way up to the prosperity gospel and beyond. That indeed, you want to be wary of what people mean when they talk. And you don't want to just take whatever they say as the gospel truth. But the fact of the matter is that Jesus is in you. Okay. Now, we're going to start by looking at Luke chapter, I don't have it here, 17. I could have done that from memory. I didn't want to guess. Luke chapter 17, verse 20, where he's in a conversation with the Pharisees. And he's asked by them when the kingdom of God is going to come, right? Jesus is the preacher of the kingdom. He's the preacher of the reign. He is the son of David who will sit on David's throne. He is the return of the king to Gondor, if you got that metaphor working for you. He is the one who is meant to be our overlord and master, Lord of lords, King of kings for all eternity. And they say, when's it going to happen? When's it going to happen? The apostles ask the same question after the resurrection. Are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? And he says, such times are not for you to know. Okay, but here he doesn't say that. Here he says, the kingdom of God does not come with observation. That is, his kingdom is not one you're going to see. His kingdom is going to be something you believe. Okay? Nor will they say, see here or see there. For indeed, the kingdom of God is within you. Now, I've been a party to this, so I guess I repent, although it's not like you're going to go to hell for this, but like there is a way to teach this verse, which is to go and look at the Greek and see that word within is the word en in Greek. En is to be the, you know, in the English way of spelling the word en. And the word en in Greek can mean many, many things. Although its most common and natural reading is the word in English. In fact, there's kind of a direct line from the word en to the word in English. But the word en can mean more than just inside. It can mean with, it can mean among. And so the way the teaching goes that tries to kind of change the emphasis of this passage is that Jesus isn't saying that the kingdom of God is inside of you. He's saying, I'm the kingdom of God and I'm standing amid you all. Which sounds nice because it's like Jesus at the center, but it's like, that's not how people talk. Okay? I mean, he says that other places very clearly. Here, he says it's in you. Now, here's the other piece of this, though. That word you is plural. It's not you by yourself. It's you, us. Okay? So now he's talking about the church, the body of Christ. Now, when we talk about the body of Christ, why do we all assume it's a metaphor? Maybe it's just literally true that when you become a Christian, you are baptized into Jesus Christ. So before he's in you, you're in him, right? And that you being in him is inside all of us together, the fellowship that trust in him actually ascended to seat at the right hand of the Father, that you are, plural, seated with God right now in Jesus. And that means that he also is in you. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13 says this. It says, hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me, Paul to Timothy, in faith and love, which are in Christ Jesus, that good thing which was committed to you, that's the pattern of sound words, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. So, I mean, this is just one of many, many places where you can do that little workaround where Jesus doesn't say the kingdom of God is in you and like it's saying I'm among you. But the problem is you can't do that with all the verses where it says Holy Spirit's in you. Okay. So if you want to go kind of hyper legalistic Trinitarian and say, well, the Holy Spirit's in you, not Jesus. It's like, okay, I got more for you in a moment. And that's just weird. Okay. How is the Holy Spirit in you? By the name of Jesus. I know Eastern Orthodox don't always agree, but who does the Holy Spirit proceed from? Jesus. Who sends the Holy Spirit to you? Jesus. Huh? What does the Holy Spirit point you to? Jesus. How? Through faith in what? In words about Jesus. Are those words that you're believing now inside of you? Yes. Yes. I wrote a book called Without Flesh. There's a whole chapter on how words work biochemically in your brain. It's really cool. You know that every word that you hear and believe is electrical current in your head? It isn't just happening out here. It's actually in you. It's childish and simple. It's literal. The word of God is actually in you, right? And Jesus is the word who became flesh, right? And dwelt among us, in us, right? Paul says to Timothy, that good thing, this word, which you know is the Holy Spirit's work and the Holy Spirit and Christ in you, cling to that. Keep that. Don't let anyone take that from you. And here's Colossians chapter 2, right? Verse 15, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were also called in one body. There's that body language, right? Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Hey, sons of Solomon. Teaching, admonishing each other in psalms. Hey, sons of Solomon. Hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to God. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God. But again, so how is Jesus in you? Through the word, through the Bible, through the scripture, right? This is why memorizing scripture is such a valuable thing. This is why praying the Psalms regularly so that you do memorize them is to have more of the Holy Spirit in you. Can you make the Holy Spirit in you? No, but you can ask and God will give. Seek ye first and it will happen, okay? And again, it doesn't happen with some sort of mystical juju. Oh, I feel Jesus. It's literally the words in you are Jesus. And why would you deny that? Granted, because there's a bunch of people who want to make Jesus in you just a burning in the bosom feeling by which they can decide whatever they want and blame it on Jesus. And that's bad. That's really bad. It's evil. Okay. But we don't want to give up good because they're bad. We don't want to give up truth because they lie. That's the devil's game there.